Hello and welcome to The Inside Dish, where we explore the culinary, distillery, and the winery arts in and around the Lehigh Valley. I'm Mike Drabenstadt, host for your gastronomic tour of the region's amazing food and beverage scene. I'm here today with Jeff Wetzel from Mad Catter Coffee Roasters, operating in the Bridgeworks Enterprise Center, just south of Center City, Allentown, off of 10th Street. Jeff, welcome to The Inside Dish.
Thanks for having me, dude.
So I'm curious, do you remember your first cup of coffee or your first coffee experience in your life? Or how far back does that go for you?
Oh, my goodness. Well, that goes back to when I was in college, and it was the darkest, boldest, most burnt cup of coffee, and I loaded it with sugar, and I have no idea why I used to drink it, but I did.
Was it there to keep you energized and keep you awake? It might not be for the flavor, right?
It was not the flavor at all. That's why I added so much sugar.
And how'd that evolve over time?
I mean, after a while, it just got, like, boring. And, you know, I transitioned to, like, enjoying Dunkin' Donuts coffee. And after a while, it was just kind of this, like, sugar water that caused me anxiety. And it was just like, there's got to be something different. So that's what really led me to a local coffee shop to buy their beans and really start the exploring with different coffees and stuff like that.
And what was that revelation for you at the time? You getting different experiences as you're trying new things?
Well, absolutely, yeah. I mean, when you start with like a high-quality fresh ground coffee, I mean, immediately it's going to be something above what I was drinking. But it was really a slow crawl from adding sugar and cream to going black and then eventually enjoying shots of espresso. So there was a big gap in there. So,
how did that kind of growth of your affection for coffee lead you to actually starting a roasting company? Like that's a pretty big leap from enjoying to producing.
That's a really good question. I guess that, like, a certain point in my life, I was just really enjoying the experiments with the coffee. I was trying this, trying that, exploring this place, going to old local shops in the area. And also in my life, just kind of trying to find something new. I was in the corporate world and I wasn't really enjoying my job. So it was just like kind of searching for more. And eventually I just realized like, wow, coffee is really something that I enjoy. There's something here for me. Like, let's explore this fully. And that's essentially what led me to my travels overseas and start working on coffee farms.
So was that intentional at that time where you said, I'm going to start getting into the coffee business? Or you were like, I'm going to take a step back from everything to start exploring my passion? Did you know kind of at that time that I want to get into coffee roasting? You're like, hey, what happens, happens.
You know what? It was a little bit of both. It was just like, hey, listen, I like coffee. How do I do this? But then also like, you know what, man? Let's jump off this ledge. Let's go see where this takes me. I didn't really expect to be here now with the business. So it really was just kind of exploring the passion.
And talk about some of your travels. Where'd you end up going and what'd you learn?
Yeah, my first journey was down to Costa Rica. I spent 6 months down there. I spent 4 months on the farm and then 1 month working at a local coffee shop, and then I spent another month traveling around. There was just so much involved in that. I was way high up in the mountains, these beautiful scenery every single day, surrounded by these like beautiful coffee plants, and that was incredible. But yeah, and then the following year, I decided to do the same thing. I just went to a different farm, and I went to farm in Costa, Nicaragua, actually. So yeah, I found a guy just through Instagram, just asking people like, hey, can I come to your farm? Can I work? And he was like, yeah, for sure. Yeah, man, I boarded a plane, went down to Nicaragua. I lived and worked on a mill there. So like every day consisted of like waking up and we would wash the coffee from the day before, and then we would sort it, you know, then we would ship it off. And in the afternoon, a new fresh cup would come in and we'd process it and we'd get it ready for the next day. So that was my life for 3 months straight. It was awesome.
Well, obviously, you know, we talked to a lot of people here on the show that are doing work in the Lehigh Valley. Some of them might be working on farms. They're getting local ingredients. Of course, you can't grow coffee here in the Lehigh Valley, of course, right? But you living down there that long and working there must give you a deeper appreciation for the origins of the coffee and all the work that goes into producing the coffee beans.
Oh my goodness, dude. Yeah, it's crazy. And I say there's like two different things there. It's like not only was it really just like the care and the quality that goes into the product and producing it itself, like I learned a really appreciation for that aspect, but then also the connections I made with the people that grow in like the coffee growing communities. And really that was a big driving force for me in the industry, is just understanding like how these specialty coffee can positively impact these coffee growing communities. And that really, like, for me, it was like the biggest thing. And that's where I kind of live to now in my green sourcing and how I buy my coffee, is like, where is this coffee coming from and who am I supporting when I buy this coffee? So
you buy the coffee directly from the farms?
Yes and no. Okay. Most of the time, I get it from an importer. So there's always this kind of exporter-importer supply chain. But I do have one direct source coffee, and actually working with a farm that I used to work on in Nicaragua. So he does all his import and exporters, and I work directly with the farmer. And I'm really happy to be able to support that farm because I support the friends that I made when I was down there in Nicaragua. So it's awesome.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about then what you're doing specifically at Mad Catter with the roasting and what kind of things are involved with roasting coffee to make the product that you want to make.
A lot, man. You know, where it really starts is like, what kind of green coffee? So that's unroasted, the raw product. How do I source this? Where am I getting it from? So that's like really the big thing. So I work with, you know, really reputable suppliers in New Jersey. I got one in Minneapolis. You get samples. You taste these coffees. You say, okay, this is what I like. Let's bring this in. And that's really the first part, you know, and then you actually have to go into what's called profiling the coffee. So it's actually, you know, the different application of heat. How much time do I add? What's an end temperature that I get to? And it's like, how do I actually create what's called a roast profile? And that's really what dictates the end flavor profile.
Are there a set number of roast profiles, or how big is that spectrum that you're kind of working
within? Oh my goodness, dude. Oh, welcome to my life. Infinite is the best way to put it. I always love this. When I first started roasting, I remember I talked to a friend of mine and said, hey, listen, where can I get a profile? How do I do this? Who's going to tell me how to do this? The answer is always, it depends. Well, really getting back to it, man, it's just like an infinite. And that's really where the craft comes in, I would say, is, you know, every individual roaster, how are you, you know, working with the equipment and working with the seeds to really come to a final product?
And some of the variables would be temperature, humidity, amount of time in the roaster?
For sure, absolutely. Those are kind of the easier ones, yeah. It's just really how hot is the machine, how dense are the beans, you know. But then you got to think about, like, ambient temperature. You know, how are the coffees being stored? The age of the coffee. How has the coffee been processed? Is this a wet-hold coffee? Is this a washed coffee? Even things all the way down to the length of the smokestack and then the draw outside really affects, like, the pressure inside the machine. So there are just an absolute infinite amount of variables to try and to take in consideration. And that's why roasting is really a challenging thing, is because nobody can just hand over a recipe of how to do things. It's really a trial and error. But that's also the fun part. You know, I roast coffee and then I taste it. And then I say, oh, well, let me try this. And then I roast coffee and I taste it. And I say, well, that was interesting. And I roast and I taste it. And that's really how you learn and grow as a coffee roaster.
So there's definitely some science to it, but there's also some trial and error. You're just tweaking along the way.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Now, there's a science to it for sure, but the science is nowhere near close enough being able to dictate, you know, specifically how things affect it.
So, what are some of the beans and the types of roasts that you're doing regularly at Mad Catter?
I like to fill out a whole line, so I've got some really fun light roasted coffees. I've got a honey processed coffee. I have a natural processed coffee. I've got some medium roasted coffees that are washed. Nice Guatemalan coffee that I actually sourced direct a few years ago. So I went down to Guatemala. I met with an exporter and I sampled a whole bunch of coffees and I said, I like this one. I want this one imported. So that's what I'm roasting up now. And then I have a dark roast coffee as well. So whether you like the lights or the darks, you know, I got it all covered.
And you do both retail at your location?
No.
No. Okay.
That is
just production.
Strictly my production space.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you also do wholesale too, and you want to build that business as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's the real goal. And getting into Bridgeworks and then really helping me kind of narrow down my business model to like wanting to stay manufacturing and push the wholesale and then be support to my wholesale customers.
Now, obviously, based on our conversation here, you have a lot of passion for what you do and you put a lot of work into making these beans. So if they get in the hands of a consumer at home, say, what do you want them to do to get the most out of that coffee and kind of respect the work you've put into it?
Well, there's always kind of a certain amount of trust, I guess, I put into somebody to understand that they know what they're doing. But one of the things I really like to try to do is to really educate the customers as well. So it's like, oh, you know, I ask everybody all the time, how are you brewing this? You know, do you have a grinder? You know, it's just kind of like trying to figure out where everyone is. And then I can actually add some tips like, oh, why don't you try this? You should try that, you know, to really help people.
What are the biggest pieces of advice you find giving to people, or the most common, I guess I'd say?
Fresh ground. You want to get yourself a grinder, get a nice burner grinder. Really, it's the grind particle size that really affects like a really key part of the overall outcome of the flavor of the coffee. So,
and in your opinion, how much of a difference is there between the burr grinder and a blade grinder?
A ton, a lot. Yeah, don't. If you got a blade grinder, I'm gonna really ask you to just try out a burr grinder.
What does the burr grinder do if people aren't familiar with it? That makes it better.
Sure. It just gives you like a very consistent particle size. So, you know, when you have like consistent grind, the water actually pulls out a lot more evenly the flavors that are in the coffee.
And how do you make your own coffee?
You know what? Right now, cold brew, just because it's ready. I brew 5 gallons of cold brew at a time. So I just fill up a little jar. I have that at home. Roll out of bed, fill up a glass. But it's still been pretty warm so far. So as soon as it cools down, that's when I'll break out my pour overs and get back to doing a pour over coffee.
Yeah. And what is the perfect cup of coffee for you? How do you describe that?
The one that's right in front of me.
Yeah.
Nah. You know, everybody's got their own taste. I really like a really nice, fruity, natural processed coffee. You do a nice little pour over. It's got some wonderful lightness, good body, some like really fruity notes. That's what I like.
Yeah. And finally, where does your name come from? Mad Catter.
You know, I get to ask this a lot. Really, the simple answer is I just like cats and I like puns and I just like the way it sounded. But really, when I was kind of trying to develop the brand, I really felt like the idea of Mad Catter and all the things surrounded by it could be really fun and create like a, you know, just a fun brand that people could identify with.
Yeah. Jeff, talk about your location in Allentown, working in the Bridgeworks Enterprise Center. I know I looked at the website. There are 5 different companies involved with making beverages there. We've had County Seat on the show. I've been to Hijinks before, and there's a kombucha and a winery there. Tell us about that facility and kind of the environment that's going on there.
Yeah, man. Well, the first thing I'll say, it's been absolutely amazing, and I'm forever grateful to have been able to get into the business incubator program that they have there. So just speaking in terms of the building and working with the BEC, you know, they've been really great helping get me into building, getting set up, working with the city of Allentown, and then also the continued support with whether I need help with like QuickBooks or if I need, you know, with the ribbon cutting, all these different things. They've been really helpful in any way that I need. So, and then also just being surrounded by the other tenants of the building, it's like, it's insane. It's awesome. You know what I mean? Like to be surrounded by other like specialty beverage manufacturers is just great. We're always like kind of sharing ideas and experience, you know, and there's, you know, we're all in the same boat together and we're all trying to help each other and it's fantastic.
Is there a possible future collaboration where we might see some of the beans in a Hijinks beer, maybe something in a County Seat?
Well, I think both of those things have already happened.
All right.
So, yeah. So I know that Hijinks did make a beer with my espresso coffee. And then I also think that County Seat's, yeah, they had my coffee at their tasting room in Easton.
Beautiful.
And I know he made a vodka out of it, too. I don't know. They're doing fun stuff with it, though. So
that's the benefit of kind of sharing that space.
Absolutely.
That collaboration.
For sure.
And I know you do, as you said before, you focus a little bit more than other people, perhaps, on education and knowledge sharing. Talk a little bit about what that's all about and how that helps your business.
Yeah, for sure. So I guess the first thing that I like to say is I am like an absolute wealth of knowledge. Not everybody likes to hear me jab on about coffee for 2 hours on a time. So you give me a stage and a platform to talk about coffee, you know I'm going to take it. But yeah, it goes back to just kind of equipping not only my wholesale customers, but then also my regular customers with just like the tools and knowledge to actually make a better cup of coffee at home. So it's kind of like a win-win where it's like I like to teach and you make better coffee at home. So, you know, everybody's winning in that scenario.
Good coffee is good for everyone.
There you go.
And you're a relatively new business, right?
2.5 years.
2.5 years?
Yeah.
So relatively new. Yeah.
Yeah.
Where do you want to take this? Do you have ideas on that? Or are you just pretty much looking at things day to day or month to month?
Well, right now I'm doing week by week. So, you know, my calendar's filling up next week. But yeah, no, I have a clear direction that I'd like to go in. You know, obviously I want to stay a wholesale roaster. I want to help my wholesale customers. And the way that I do that is by training I did just this morning. I did some training for a new wholesale customer, but I can help with equipment. I help with repairs as well. So, you know, anything coffee, I'm really the guy. So
totally. And Jeff, how can people stay up to date with what you're doing?
Instagram is the best way to that. Or if you want to sign up for an email list, that'd be great.
And the website address is?
MadCatterCoffee.com.
Awesome. Jeff, thanks for joining us here at WDIY.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me.
I'm Mike Dravenstadt. This is The Inside Dish.